Take your Bibles, if you would, tonight, Joshua chapter 14. A couple weeks ago, we reviewed how God divided the land that was east of the Jordan River back when Moses was still in command. And tonight, we start the section of the book of Joshua that divides the land west of the Jordan River, divides the land of Canaan. So let's just get started in verse 1. And these are the countries with which the children of Israel inherited in the land of Canaan, which Eleazar the priest and Joshua the son of Nun and the heads of the fathers of the tribes of the children of Israel distributed for an inheritance to them. I think I mentioned last time we studied Joshua that up until this point, the nation of Israel had camped in a pretty tight group. In fact, they were still in the place where they first come to. The first night they spent in the Promised Land, they spent at Gilgal. I mean, they crossed the Jordan River, they came into the land of Canaan, and the first night they spent in Gilgal, and they'd been there ever since. I mean, they'd gone to fight different battles in different parts of Canaan, but they'd always come back to Gilgal. And again, it's been about 5 years that they've been fighting these battles, Jericho, Ai, the rest of them. And now it was time for them to disperse. Now it was time to pass out the land. Now it was time for them to go and take it. Moses had given Joshua and the people the instructions on how the distribution was to be made. And we're going to see that as he did in just about every area of his life, Joshua did exactly what Moses and God through Moses told him to do. Those in charge of the distribution was Eleazar the priest, of course Joshua, and then there were 10 princes of the 9.5 tribes that were to get land in the land of Canaan. And they are actually named, now we won't take the time to go back to the book of Numbers, but in Numbers chapter 34, verses 19 through 28, Moses named the 10 princes that should be involved in dividing up the land. And again, they were there as a representative from the 9.5 tribes to make sure everything was done justly, to make sure everything was done fairly. They were going to be part of the process. Verse 2, by lot was their inheritance, as the Lord commanded by the hand of Moses for the 9 tribes and for the half tribe. Again, in Numbers chapter 26, verse 55, Moses had told Joshua, you're going to divide the land by lot. You're not going to decide. The people are not going to vote on it. You're going to cast lots for it. And the people knew that God would control the lots. In fact, the psalmist wrote in Psalm 16, verse 5, the Lord maintainest my lot. And so they put themselves in the hand of God and said, he knows best which portion of land we need. He knows best which city that we need. He knows best who should live next to each other. I mean, just stop and think about it. You know, they got this land. They're going to divide it by these 9.5 tribes. All the things that you would try to consider if you were going to make that decision yourself. And how hard it would be. Can you imagine a committee trying to make this decision as to who would get what? And how would you make sure it was all fair? And how would you make sure that, you know, that this tribe didn't get an advantage over this tribe? And so God said, we're not going to do that. Right, we're not going to have this committee. You remember the first committee they set up, and the committee came back and reported, and they said, well, we're not going into the Promised Land. And so it would have been just as disastrous. And so he didn't leave it up to the people. They left it up to God. And God controlled the lots. and by lot they distributed the land. And whatever lot your tribe was given, you made the best of it. There may in that lot have been some more cities to conquer. There may have been some hard, rough landscape to tame. But whatever the lot, they trusted God to help them, and they knew that whatever lot he gave them, it was for their good, for their best, for their best good. And oh, that we could have the same faith that the Israelites had, that we could just leave our lot to God, knowing that he maintains our lot, and whatever the lot he gives us, he'll help us as we take it. He'll help us as we settle it, however you want to say it. Now, in verses 3 and 4, it explains why, again, reminds us why there's only 9.5 tribes. For Moses had given the inheritance of 2 tribes and a half tribe on the other side Jordan. But unto the Levites he gave none inheritance among them. For the children of Joseph were 2 tribes, Manasseh and Ephraim. Therefore they gave no part unto the Levites in the land, save cities to dwell in with their suburbs for their cattle and for their substance. So 2.5 tribes had got their inheritance on the east side of Jordan. They were to have none in the land of Canaan. Now, you know, sometimes I like to think about what people might think are weird questions. And I was thinking about this as I was preparing for tonight. I wonder that if the men of those 2.5 tribes, because you remember the deal that Moses made with those 2.5 tribes, I'll give you this land on the east of Jordan only if you'll go in and help your relatives, your other tribes, fight for the land of Canaan. If you go in and fight, I'll let you. You can build cities, and your wives and your children and animals can stay here. But the men of the tribes have to go into the land of Canaan and help fight to take it. And they made that deal. And so the men of these 2.5 tribes went into the promised land with the other tribes to fight for it. And here's a question I was thinking about. Did you ever think about this? Once they got over into the land of Canaan, once they saw the land that flowed with milk and honey, do you ever think they stopped back and said, I think we made a mistake. I think we decided too quickly to ask for something on the east side of Jordan. We should have waited. We should have waited till we got over here and saw the land that God had prepared for us, because it's a whole lot better than it is over there. And here's a thought that came to my mind. Sometimes we get impatient in life's choices. And we see something, and it looks good. And we go to God, and we say, hey, I'd like to have that. And God sort of comes back to us, and he says, are you sure? I have something a whole lot better planned for you. It's down the road a ways, and you have to wait for it a little bit, but I think you'll be happier if you wait. And because we're impatient and want what we see right now, we say, I'd just soon have this right here. I'd just soon, if you'll give it to me, I'll be happy with this. And God says, well, okay, I'll give it to you. You can have it. It's not what I had planned for you. It's not what I think is the best for you, but if you really want it, I'll give it to you. And I've often wondered if the men of these 2.5 tribes, after they got into the promised land, if they didn't say, I wish we would have waited. I wish we would have waited for what God had prepared for us. It's a whole lot better than what we had on the east side of Jordan. So 2.5 tribes, east side of Jordan. None for the tribe of Levi. God didn't want them getting entangled in taking the land. He was going to give them cities among the tribes for their part of the inheritance, but he wanted them focused on their duties in serving him and in serving the people as the priests and the Levites. And so the sons of Joseph, Manasseh and Ephraim, each of them shared in the inheritance. And then look at verse 5. As the Lord commanded Moses, so the children of Israel did, and they divided the land. Again, God had given Moses very specific instructions how to divide the land. He shared those with Joshua, and Joshua did exactly what Moses told him to do. Now, shouldn't surprise us, because that was Joshua's mode of operation. That's what he did. In the when he first took over for Moses in chapter 1 of Joshua, God told him, "Be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left." And that's how Joshua, that's what he did. He did exactly, except maybe in the case of the Gibeonites, where he made a deal with the people. You know, they were the ones that deceived him. Except in that case, I believe that he did everything according to the book. He did everything that God told him to do in the way that God told him to do it. And God blessed him. God blessed him. Oh, again, that we could learn the lesson that Joshua did. If I could just learn to live by this book. Do what this book says and the way that this book says to do it. That verse in Joshua 1:8 that says, "This book of law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." It was true in the case of Joshua. It's true today. It hasn't changed. Living by this book will make you prosperous. Doesn't mean you'll be super rich, but you will be prosperous. Some people are super rich because they live by this book. But you'll have good success. God still keeps his promises. All right, now, in verse 6 of chapter 14, before the lots start, before they start the process of casting the lots and divvying up the land, Caleb comes with a request. Except Joshua, he's the oldest man in the land of Israel. He's 20 years older than any other person, again, other than Joshua. And again, we know his story. Along with Joshua, he was one of 12 spies that Moses sent into the promised land originally to check it out. To spy on it. They spent 40 days. Remember, they spent 40 days checking out the land of Canaan. They came back. They gave the report. They said, "It is a land that flows with milk and honey. It is a rich, fertile land. It's a good land. What a wonderful thing that God has prepared for us." But they said, "The cities are fortified. There are giants that live there." And 10 of the 12 said, "We cannot take it. If we try to go in and take it, we will be defeated." Two of them, Joshua and Caleb, said, "With God's help, we can take it. With God's help, they are no match for us." You know the story. They voted. They turned away at Kadesh Barnea. They turned back. They did not trust God. And God said, "Okay, because you did not trust me, you're going to wander in the wilderness for 40 years, a year for every day, the spies spent in the land, and everybody except Joshua and Caleb, over 20 years old, are going to die. They're not going to come into the land." This is that Caleb. Caleb now comes. And let me just cut to the chase. He comes to Joshua, and he asked for the very mountain, city, region of land where the giants lived. The place where the 10 spies based their report on more than any other place in the land of Canaan that they looked at. The very place where they saw the fortified cities, the very place where they saw the giants, Caleb came to Joshua and said, "I want that. I want that mountain. I want that city. I want that region of land. So look at verse 6. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal. Again, they were still in Gilgal. And Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. Again, he came, I want you to notice, the children of Judah came unto Joshua. Caleb was one of the ten princes, that God had appointed through Moses to divide the land. Okay? Rather than give the appearance of taking advantage of his position to get something special, he brought the whole tribe with him when he made this request, because he didn't want to give that appearance. He wanted everybody, he didn't want to do anything in secret. He didn't want to do anything behind the scenes. He wanted everybody to know what he was asking for. And so he brings the children of Judah with him. And he says, Joshua, you remember what God told Moses concerning you and me when we were in Kadesh Barnea 45 years ago? He says in verse 7, 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought him word again as it was in my heart. I was 40 years old when I was chosen to be a spy. When it came time for us to give our report, I spoke from my heart. And my heart said that we could trust God. My heart said it didn't matter how strong the cities were. My heart said it didn't matter how big the giants were. My heart said it didn't matter how much we were outnumbered, outgunned, outtrained. If God wanted us to have the land, it didn't matter what the odds were. It didn't matter what the obstacles were. If God wanted us to have it, then we would have it. That was my heart. That's what I believe that God would do. Look at verse 8. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. Those guys that went with us, they instead of listening to God, instead of trusting to God, they looked at the obstacles. They looked at the walls. They looked at the giants. They looked at how we were outnumbered, and they were afraid. And they made the heart of the rest of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord. I didn't have any doubt. I knew that God could do it. Verse 9, and Moses swore on that day, saying, now this is what he was reminding Joshua of as he was making the request. Surely the land whereupon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. He said, remember Joshua, Moses swore to us on that day, because you have wholly followed me, because you trusted me, because you believed, regardless of the odds, that I could overcome any obstacles and give you what I promised you, because you believed that and trusted me and said that before the people. When the other 10 guys, or the other 10, you know, it's easy to stand for God when everybody's standing with you. It's easy to give a good report when everybody's giving a good report with you. But when you're 2 out of 12 and the whole nation turns against you, it's hard to stand for God. But Caleb and Joshua stood, no. Let's not go back. Let's go forward. God's going to give us this land. They wholly followed the Lord. You remember the promise he made? He said, the land that you walked on, it's yours. I'm going to give it to you, and I'm going to give it to your children, because you wholly followed me. Verse 10, and now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years. Even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. He said, to keep that promise, God has kept me alive these past 45 years. He's kept me alive. 40 years in the wilderness. 5 years as we fought at Jericho and Ai and all the other battles that we fought. He says, I'm 85 years old, and God has kept me alive. By the way, you're alive tonight because God's kept you alive. I'm alive tonight because God's kept me alive. He says, I'm 85 years old, verse 11, and yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. He said, I'm just as strong as I was when Moses sent me to spy out the land. 45 years ago, but just like my strength 45 years ago is the strength that I have now, and I can still fight. He said, this is not an old man's fancy. This is not an old man's dream. You don't have to worry about giving me this region that I'm not going to take it, because I still have the strength to do what God wanted us to do 45 years ago. And so he says in verse 12, now therefore give me this mountain, whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou hearest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. Again, this was the place where the giants lived. This was the place where the cities were. This is probably the most fortified, strongest stronghold in the land of Canaan. This was the place where the 10 tribes based the report of the whole land. So we can't take it. We're like grasshoppers in their sight, and the cities are strong. This was the very place that that report was based on. And here's this 85-year-old senior saint saying, give it to me, because if God be for me. Now, some people might read that and say, did he have a doubt? No, he didn't doubt God. It was a proclamation of faith that said, if God be for us, who can be against us? Give me this mountain, Moses. There may still be some doubters in the land. There's still more cities to take. Give me this one. The hardest place to take with the biggest people and the most fenced cities. I want this one. And I'll show everybody that cares to look and listen that there's a God that keeps his promise. And it doesn't matter how big the obstacles. It doesn't matter how strong the cities. It doesn't matter how tall the giants. God can still keep his promises. In verse 13, and Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, Hebron for an inheritance. And so Hebron, that place that was dwelt by giants, and the portion of that land was carved out before the first lot was cast. And Joshua said, okay, Caleb, just like God promised, I'm going to do what God told Moses to do. I'm going to give you that place where your feet walked, and it's going to be yours. Hebron would become one of the cities that were given to the Levites. Hebron would become one of the 6 cities of refuge where people could flee and take safety if they had accidentally killed somebody and lived there until the death of the high priest. Hebron would become that city that King David would reign from for the first 7 years of his kingdom. It was given to Caleb because he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. A life given to God may not always be easy by man's standards, but a life given to God will always be blessed by God. May not be easy. I mean, Caleb wholly followed the Lord. I mean, his life wasn't easy. He had to spend 40 years in wandering in the wilderness for a sin that he did not commit. It wasn't easy. He had to fight along with everybody else first 5 years, and he had some more fighting to do, probably tougher fighting than he'd done for the first 5 years to take his part of the inheritance. But he was blessed of God because his life was wholly given to him. Verse 14, Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite, unto this day, because he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. And the name of Hebron before was Kirjath Baal, which Arba was a great man among the Anakims, and the land had rest from war. If you want to talk about a character in the Bible that would be worthy of our emulation, it would be this man, Caleb. What a mighty man of God. Whole his life wholly given to his God. Thank you for being here tonight. Let's stand, and we'll have a word of prayer.